Great. Thank you. So obviously, the current theme we've been looking at is a more Christ-like God, a more beautiful gospel. And you may well be wondering why I am up the front today. Last year, we took a look at spiritual practices together and being partway in my training as a spiritual companion or spiritual director and an advocate and practitioner of a contemplative approach to spiritual practices, I thought it might be of interest to offer a reflection of my journey. For one reason or another, that didn't happen, but I wasn't off the hook. Sean suggested these reflections might sit well within the current series. Let me know what you think. Spiritual practices and spiritual direction included are simply intentional ways of making space to notice and respond to the presence and action of God in our lives, that we might awaken to the God who is already present and at work among us, that we might grow in a relationship with the divine. Much of what happens in spiritual direction and in our approach to spiritual practices is very strongly influenced by the way we view and approach God. A big part of spiritual direction conversation can be about unpacking the images and beliefs we carry. In our relationships with others, our perceptions of them alters how we relate. If you think someone is looking out for mistakes to put you in your place, which I'm not saying anyone here today is, you might be tense and defensive as you relate to them. But if you believe they're genuinely interested in desiring for your growth, you might risk more. You might ask questions and admit that you don't understand something. Your view of the person determines your posture towards them. In the same way, if we imagine God as distant, disappointed, or demanding, our spiritual life reflects that. We are careful, guarded, and we keep our distance. If we can come to see God as revealed in Christ, compassionate, self-giving, radically for us, racing towards us, the whole tone of the relationship changes and our posture shifts. To live out of the beautiful gospel referenced by Brad Jersak in his book, it helps if we can identify the lenses through which we encounter the divine. Firstly, I think I would just share for a moment some of the personal reflections around what led me to becoming intentional about spiritual practices, to be making space to notice and respond to the presence and action of God in my life, to awaken to the God who is present and at work. A milestone event for me came not long after we had Millie, which is coming up 19 years ago. I was thinking a lot then about what it means to live as an intentional parent of faith. If I'm going to raise children in faith, what is the core of the faith that I'm sharing? There was a lot of conversation here at ILM and reading about nurturing faith in families, and amongst others, thank you to Steph and Rochelle, and who were really active in creating space for that dialogue. Two key messages from the research struck me at that time. Firstly, was the message that modelling a personal relationship with the divine has a significant impact on the trajectory of a child's personal faith journey. Secondly, offering children opportunities to experience God themselves is another critical factor. Actually, I felt I didn't have much to offer in either space, but those questions became invitational. I knew I didn't want to offer the religion of my childhood, which was so black and white, so in and out, so right and wrong. This really didn't match my beliefs anymore. And yet, when I actually paused for honest reflection, I wasn't at all sure I was connected with a personal, lived, experiential relationship with the divine myself. Mine had become more of an intellectual faith, a set of beliefs with lots of questioning and an increasingly cynical faith. I wasn't sure what I believed about prayer anymore. Did God even care? I've been thinking about that space again in my recent study. Parker Palmer speaks of a functional atheism, and I feel that is a fairly accurate description of the direction of travel of my faith at that time. Functional atheism doesn't mean we deny God intellectually, but it describes a way of living in which we say we trust God, but carry the weight of everything as if it depends on us. It looks like I'm praying for something, but still believing that everything ultimately rests on my shoulders, on my competence. If I see God as distant or uninvolved, uninterested in my life, functional atheism becomes almost inevitable. There is an assumption that everything is resting on my shoulders. An awareness of this reality was a pivotal moment in my own journey. Being driven by control or self-reliance is hardly the foundation for a vibrant and personal experiential relationship with the divine. One thing that emerged from this was a realization that modeling a personal lived faith began to matter deeply to me, both for the sake of my children and myself. So when a group of friends came together and felt inspired to practice contemplative prayer together once a fortnight, I was in. We agreed we didn't want another meetup where we talked about prayer or discussed ideas or circled around our doubts. There was a shared desire to actually pray, to move from head-centered belief to a heart-level experience of the divine, to actually practice some of what we all knew but weren't really putting into effect. This was the start of what has become a hugely significant spiritual practice for me. The commitment to setting aside time for this practice of praying together for 1.5 hours once a fortnight was made. The rhythm and commitment has been pivotal and hugely impactful. I could tell you more about my personal experience of specific practices, but for the sake of expediency, I would just share one key message of learning around that for me. It took a while to discover this, but a key awareness has been around the value of leaning into the practices that flow naturally, rather than forcing myself into ones that feel like hard work. That's where I've found life. There's no one size that fits all. We all come with our unique selves, and for each season, there's likely to be an approach which is more comfortable. And so this means letting go of a view of God as a strict taskmaster, expecting us to show up in a certain way. Abbot John Chapman has been credited with this grace-filled wisdom. He encourages us to pray as you can, not as you can't. As I have since reflected more about how the way I understand God has shaped my relationship with and approach to relationship with God, I can recognize other themes that have been hugely life-giving. I read an incredible book by Franciscan Albert Haas last year. It's a book called Becoming an Ordinary Mystic, Spirituality for the Rest of Us. A central thread in this book is the supposition that each moment is a threshold, a portal through which God steps forward to us in ardent longing and enthusiastic invitation into deeper relationship. That's a view of God I want to hold on to. It's a bit like a Celtic view of thin places, but encouraging us to see every moment as this threshold or doorway through which God steps toward us with longing and invitation into deeper relationship. We are invited to be fully present, to stop, to look and listen and recognize each ordinary moment as an ambassador of God's will. We're invited to notice where the Spirit is moving, to listen for God's invitation in each sacred moment. This is the God who has a longing for relationship with us, not a distant God waiting for us to perform correctly, but a God stepping toward us in each ordinary moment. This is a wonderful message to call to mind during the day. And as I reflect on this profound framing of the Holy One, I might find myself pausing to ask questions like, what is the invitation in this moment? Where is God? Where is light? Where is love? What is God saying? Is there a response invited of me? From this posture, I might brush past a flowering flax bush and realize, as I'm sitting in a meeting half an hour later, and as my hand glances over my arm, I find my skin is glistening with the abundant nectar from the harakeke flower. I pause, and there is a sense of meaning in that, maybe a sense of anointing, of God present with me, of links to other similar experiences and inner knowing. I think this journey of reframing my view of the divine has made a huge difference to the way I show up. It's not like a constant hearing from God, but my posture in coming to God is shifting. I'm much more receptive and open to the invitation of the Holy One in each moment. Pierre Teilhard de Chardin was born in 1881. He's a Jesuit priest, paleontologist, scientist, and mystic. He worked in the space which brought together both evolutionary science and Christian theology. Extradited to China after ruffling feathers with his teaching, he was a key figure in the discovery of Peking Man, a significant archaeological find. Teilhard was forbidden from publishing his controversial theological work in his lifetime, and only after his death did friends and supporters see that it was published. Teilhard saw matter and spirit as deeply interconnected. Matter is spirit moving slowly enough to be seen, he says. He saw matter as not spiritually neutral, but in his vision, permeated by the very presence of Christ. Maybe like in Acts, where Paul tells us, in him we live and move and have our being. Teilhard says, we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. That kind of turns things around. We're not human beings having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. I love to sit with his writing. He writes things like Christ at the heart of all matter. And so to hold a rock or feather in this framing takes us to mystery, into a relationship with the one that is beyond. Matter, spirit. Matter is spirit moving slowly enough to be seen. Christ at the heart of all matter. If we can see things like this, then truly nothing is spiritually neutral. There is nowhere we can go that is not already holy ground. Not in the chaos of parenting or seasons of doubt, not in exhaustion, not in silence. Perhaps the more Christ-like God is closer than we ever imagined. In each moment, a threshold, in each breath, an invitation. And perhaps the most beautiful gospel is to trust that the God revealed in Christ is not distant, disappointed, or demanding, but already present and moving toward us. As Sean has been reminding us in recent weeks, how we view and understand the divine really does make a difference. This conversation offers us a reminder to check into our own personal journey, to sit with Christ as he asks each of us, who do you say that I am? What is the invitation in this moment? What is my response to this invitation? Maybe we can just take a couple of minutes of quiet before we move into the next part of the service to reflect on this question and notice our own posture to God in this season. If we could just play it's a short audio, and just to say, if this is a topic you want to spend more time exploring, there's lots of other resources to be shared and other questions to sit with. And I really believe it's a topic worth exploring at a personal level.